Allison. Okay, we will call the Senate Transit Subdivision Committee to order for Monday, March 12th. A little late, and we promised Senator Rest will get out of here quickly, so. Actually, I think we all have places to go. So we'll try to get through this as quickly as we can. And I'm going to present the bill from the table, so I'll turn the gavel over to Senator Bonna.
Oh, you did?
Well, oh, you're going to write up.
I think once we put the period of
time
up.
Sorry. Oh, okay. He wants to know where to amend it into.
Yeah,
this
is
such a
bummer.
Situated.
Oh, thank you.
I was just in that article with the appropriations.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully we can.
Is there anything?
Lisa Chevy.
There you are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We want stuff.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Look at that.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, tonight we're going to consider the transit section of the larger transportation bill that's being put together by our larger committee. And I'm going to describe the bill, and I will ask our Senate counsel maybe as I bounce through the highlights of the bill if I don't know where it is in what particular section. Perhaps she can help us, and also perhaps the council can also help with the proper motion to amend the vehicle bill that we're using. Maybe I should do that now. Make the motion. Do we just amend by reference all the section articles 1 through 4, or do we do them one at a time? What's probably the best?
Ms. Pierzowski.
Madam Chair and Senator Dibble. They are separate documents with separate notations in the upper right-hand corner, so it might be best to handle them separately, and then you could omit that last one if you want.
Okay. Yeah, and just for the information of the committee and the members of the audience, we won't be considering Article 5. We'll consider that tomorrow as a part of the larger transportation bill. So, Madam Chair, I will move Article 1. And these are just for your information, delete all amendments to Senate File 1672.
So Senator Dibble moves the delete all amendment for Article 1. Any discussion? All in favor?
Mm-hmm. It's not a delete all amendment. It's just Article 1. It's
Senator Rest.
Oh,
it's just Article 1.
Senate File 1672, all of these articles.
I stand corrected. That is not a delete-all. Senator Dibble moves Article 1.
No, Madam Chair, it is a delete-all amendment to Senate File 1672.
Very good.
All right.
We need to do that first. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
And, Madam
Motion
Chair.
Motion passed.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Madam Chair, I'll confirm with Council that Article 1 is designed to deal with the deficiencies anticipated in the coming biennium.
Is that accurate? Deficiencies in the coming biennium? That he's amended?
Great. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ms. Berzavsky?
Madam Chair, they're actually the base appropriations.
Oh, excuse me, the base appropriations. Oh, and Senator we do need Dibble. To perhaps move an amendment at this time to deal with the deficiencies in the current biennium. And if fiscal staff could give us that motion. We need to deal with a deficiency of $5.869 million for Metro Transit and $391,000 for Greater Minnesota Transit. And those will be appropriations from the general fund.
And Senator Dibble, do you have an amendment for that, or is this an oral?
This will be an oral amendment. I think they're working that out.
Ms. Boyd?
Madam Chair, Senators, Section 3 would read, Section 3, Appropriation,
$5,869,000 in fiscal year 2007 is appropriated from the general fund to the Metropolitan Council for bus system appropriations. And then Section 4.
Ms. Boyd, could you repeat that one more time, please?
It would read Section 3, Appropriation, $5,869,000 in fiscal year 2007 is appropriated from the general fund to the Metropolitan Council for bus system operations. And then Section 4 would read Section 4, Appropriation. That is... $391,000 in fiscal year 2007 is appropriated from the general fund to the Commissioner of Transportation for Transit.
Madam Chair, I move that amendment.
So moved. All those in favor? Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion is passed.
Okay. Madam Chair, I'll move Article 2. As an amendment to Senate File 1672.
So moved. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passed.
Madam Chair, I move Article 3 as an amendment to Senate File 1672.
So moved. All those in favor.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rest.
Could we have some description of what these are?
Senator Rest, it's my understanding that this is just getting the bill in the shape the author wants it in, and then he will take us through the bill section by section. Is that correct, Senator Dibble?
That's my intention, Madam Chair.
All right.
Senator Rest?
All right.
Thank you.
I renew my motion, Madam Chair, Article 3, as an amendment to Senate File 1672.
So moved. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
And finally, Madam Chair, I'll move Article 4 as amendment of Senate File 1672.
So moved. All those in favor, say aye.
It's Article 4.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Excuse me, Senator Dibble. It seems as though some people are missing. Is that okay? People have it?
It's a big one. I don't think they messed it up.
I don't have it.
No way, you got it.
Billy
it out.
Four?
I have two.
Not missing it. Do we have more copies?
She's gonna bring.
She's gonna ask, I think.
Article in front of
Bonnie doesn't, and now Kathy needs one. Thanks, Allison.
Yeah, we're going to need some more of those.
Mm-hmm. Senator Saltzman will be getting you one. So,
all right, we'll hold off on Article 4. We won't move that now, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, why don't we start with the article? Well, we dealt with Article 1. That Article 1 is the base appropriation for the coming biennium from the general fund to Metro Transit as well as the Department of Transportation for Greater Minnesota Transit as well as Metropolitan Transit operations. And then, of course, we dealt with the deficiencies that we're contending with in our current biennium of $5.8 million for the current for Metro Council and $391,000 for Greater Minnesota Transit. Article 2 deals with... mostly deals with the motor vehicle sales tax. And what we do in...
Excuse me just a moment, Senator Dibble. So if members have questions as we go through these particular articles, ask them while we're at them, and we'll keep going through the bill.
Great. Thanks, Madam Chair. So if you turn to page 3, page 3 deals with the motor vehicle sales tax on leased vehicles, what we are now calling MVLT. And our what our intention there is, Madam Chair, is you know, there's of course a ramp up phase that we see in paragraphs 1 through 4, and then in paragraph 5, when everything is fully phased in, what we would do is split the motor vehicle lease tax 50% and 50% between transit and roads. And of that 50% that comes to transit, we would send 75% of that to the metropolitan area and 25% of that to Greater Minnesota. Now, it reads as 37.5 and 12.5 because that's reflecting the full percentage of 100%, but that's actually 50% of, or 75% of 50% and 25% of 50%. And so that's the intention there. And then moving on to page 6 of Article 2, this is the motor vehicle sales tax. And again, there's a ramp-up phase until it's in full effect in paragraph F there, line 6.22. And, of course, we've had great discussion around all of this, the split of the 40%. We're not changing the 60-40 split between roads and transit, but within the 40%, we would dedicate 36% to the metropolitan area and 4% to Greater Minnesota transit purposes. And I don't know if members want to look at dollar figures now or if they want to wait until the end to kind of see how it all balances out.
Well,
Senator Murphy.
Madam Chairman, Senator Debel, I take it that the numbers are all on these two sheets that, well, not the Hennepin County, but
no,
it's on this.
I assume, you know, have not seen that sheet. I need a copy of that. If I could ask the page for a copy of that. But I assume, Ms. Boyd, is that true?
Ms. Boyd.
Madam Chair, Senator Dibble, yes. This is the spreadsheet listing out all the new revenues as you have them in Article 2.
Great. Thank you.
But it doesn't show percentages.
All right.
Senator Rest, do you have a question?
Are we talking about this spreadsheet?
Yes.
Yes.
Senator Dibble, I had asked at a previous occasion, I don't know if it was a meeting, for the not just the dollars, but how it splits Metro Greater Minnesota when it comes down to the net on transit. Is that reflected on the spreadsheet?
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll ask Ms. Boyd to help explain the sheet because I've just seen it. So.
Madam Chair, Senator Dibble, and Senator Rest, I'm afraid I didn't catch all of your question.
I have, Madam Chair, I have asked previously because we are splitting the dollars that are going to transit in a number of different ways. I want to know the net effect. Sometimes it's 36.4 in the MVEST, and then it's 50% and some sort of percentage of that. I want to know at the end of the day, dollars that are proposed when it is, and I mentioned this earlier to Senator Murphy, when it's fully implemented, the MVEST in 2012, what is the split between Metro Transit and Greater Minnesota Transit? Is it 36.4? Is it 35.5? Is it 38.2? What is it? That's important to me.
Madam Chair?
Senator Murphy.
Madam Chair, Senator Rest, you're talking about all the money for transit, regardless of where it comes from.
By the time the MVEST is fully phased in, that's what I had spoken to you about earlier today.
Right, and you just want a percentage of where it's going.
Rather than just giving the numbers and having me have to do all the percentages, I'd just like to know the net percentage.
Well, we're just checking your math skills.
Yeah, I don't want to employ my math skills.
We'll definitely get that number, Senator Rest. Ms. Boyd's been awfully busy trying to get all this together in the last couple days, and
so know what I'm voting on. That's
right. So, members, what Senator Rest is saying is that if we add up the 50% and then one formula, it's this, and one formula, it's that. When at the end of the day, everything's rolled up, how does it net out?
Yep.
Right, and I can do that. I have some rough numbers here Senator DeBolt. I'll say them when I'm done with the sales tax and all that stuff, and we'll check it out. Although I'm pretty sure they're pretty right because Ms. Boyd gave them to us yesterday. So, all right. So moving along.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator DeBolt, as we're starting to look at this and understand, is there some place somebody could advise me to look as to what, when we're talking primarily about transit here, is there some place where somebody can tell me what goes into transit today so that I can kind of compare with what percentage-wise we're going up?
Senator DeBolt.
Perhaps. Does this chart, Ms. Boyd, just reflect new money, or does it reflect existing sources? I mean, we have rough ideas of what we appropriate currently to transit, right, what the transit budget is.
Ms. Boyd.
Madam Chair, Senator DeBolt and Senator Jungbauer, this is mostly new revenues. The only tricky thing is that MVEST revenue is not considered new revenue because current law already incorporates the constitutional amendment, and that money is already coming to transportation in the forecast. Okay. I can certainly get some percentages for you overall of how much growth that is.
Okay.
Over current transit numbers.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. All right.
Senator DeVille, Ms. Berzovsky has a comment.
All right.
Sorry. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator DeVille, I just wanted to point out before you leave Article 2 that Section 2 also gives a sales tax exemption to MnDOT and Met Council for purchases of vehicles and repair parts for the North Star Corridor, commuter rail
Great.
Corridor.
Thank you, Ms. Berzovsky. Can you point out where that is in Article 2?
It's Section 2. It starts on the bottom of page 1. And the new language is on page 2.
Great. Thank you. And that, Ms. Berzovsky, is similar to the sales tax exemption that Hiawatha Light Rail received, correct?
Madam Chair and Senator DeBolt, yes, that's
Berzovsky.
You can see that language on page 2, line 2.9 and 2.10. And the statutory section refers to light rail.
Great. Thank you. Thanks. All right. Moving to Article 3.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One more question for Senate Counsel on page 2, lines 2.17, 2.18. When it talks about the Department of Transportation and Met Council for purchase of vehicles, repair parts, equip operations, I'm assuming that's specific to these vehicles and repair parts, but I was wondering when it talks, opens it up to Department of Transportation, would it be for other things like if our airports, issues for the airports would be covered under any of that, the vehicles or equipment?
Ms. Berzovsky.
Madam Chair and Senator Jungbauer, no.
Senator Jungbauer, it's confined to items specified in Section 174.90. That's the that's the qualifier there. That's the limiting factor. That's North Star Corridor.
Not having that with me, I didn't know, Senator. Thank you.
Don't you have the statutes memorized? All
right. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Article 3 deals with a metro-wide area sales tax primarily. So if you turn to page 3, what we do is we establish a half-cent sales tax in the 7-county metropolitan area and then call for a 7-county joint powers board to be established provisions, mechanisms by which it enters into the agreement and establishes its own rules, et cetera. And then going on to Subdivision 6, the powers of this Joint Powers Board is going to be the board that can spend these funds for planning, capital, and operating for transit, 75% of the funds raised for planning, capital, and operations of transit, 20% for construction, maintenance, and improvement of trunk highways and local roads within the 7-county metro area, and than 5% for bicycle and pedestrian facilities. Additionally, we direct this Joint Powers Board to study a number of the transit corridors that have been brought forward.
Senator Dibble,
yes.
Would the Metro Mobility and those kinds of things come under the overall umbrella of transit?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
And the way this happens is that any public entity, the Met Council, for example, would apply to the Joint Powers Board for the purpose of construction or purpose of seeking operating dollars for transit modes and transit facilities and transit operations of all kinds. So that's how that works. That's the grant process that is outlined at the bottom of page 4 and the top of page 5. I believe, too, I should say I'm of the understanding, and I'll ask Ms. Berezovsky to help me. One of our intentions was to allow a county not in the metropolitan area to opt in to the joint powers if they are able to impose a sales tax through a local option. And Ms. Berezovsky, is that – I haven't
Ms. Berezovsky.
Been through the bill in great detail yet. It's hot off the presses. So.
Madam Chair and Senator Dibble, on page 3.14, at the beginning of subdivision 4, it's drafted into the agreement section that the agreement must provide a process and timeline to allow a contiguous county by resolution of its county board to impose the tax and join the joint powers board.
Great. And then if I could also ask Ms. Berezovsky, we were also hoping that counties outside the metropolitan area could enact the half-cent sales tax, again, through their own, through a local option process, and then enter into a joint powers when two or more counties contiguous to each other.
Senator Dibble, that language is not in here, although we understand that is the intent of the bill, so we'll have to add that language as an amendment.
All right. We'll do that at a future date. That's our intention for those
Senator
who are gathered.
Carlson.
Correct. Madam Chair, Senator Carlson.
Senator Dibble.
Yes, I think we would like that. I think we find that desirable. We weren't able, quickly to come up with a mechanism. We weren't comfortable with the mechanism that Senator Larson had in his bill for the purpose of finding that city representative, and so that's a work in progress. So the short answer is yes, but we're open to suggestions and further working on that. Because I know cities, the local municipalities feel strongly about some representation on this joint powers board who has the authority to spend these dollars in the metropolitan area.
Do you have Madam Chair and Senator Dibble, do you have any
Senator Carlson.
First thoughts about it? For instance, size of cities or divided by counties or any intentions there?
Madam Chair, I do not. Senator Carlson, do you?
Not right offhand. Perhaps right. A city per county or a person per mm-hmm. county to yeah. represent cities?
And Madam Chair, I think that was contained in the Larson bill, one city per county, but the mechanism by which that city representative was selected didn't quite make sense at the point we were pulling this bill together, so we would need to find that mechanism.
Thank you.
All right. Ms. Berezovsky, anything I'm leaving out that's of significance in this section?
Ms. Berezovsky.
Madam Chair and Senator Dibble, I wasn't sure if you had mentioned the transitway studies.
Senator Dibble, do you want to take us through each one of them? How do you want to handle that?
Sure. Well, sure, we can do that. I did mention that briefly on page 4, paragraphs I, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Senator Dibble, I think it's important to take the time to go through each mm-hmm. one, because I think when we look at a sales tax, people mm-hmm. you know, are going to have all kinds of different reactions. And I think that one of the things that will mean the most to people is they understand why the sales tax.
That was my intention to list those as well.
Yeah, good. Right. Thank you.
So paragraph one would study Interstate 94 in the East Metro area. That was brought forward by Senator Saltzman. That does ask that.
Members were on page 4, line 4.4.
Of Article 3.
In Article 3.
Am I on the right piece of paper?
You've only got that right here.
Page 3.
In
okay.
Here.
So what article are we on?
Round 3.
Paragraph 2, starting line 4.7, studies the Rush Line Corridor. That's the commuter rail that would serve the north and northeast metropolitan area all the way to Hinckley, coming into the Union Depot. I don't recall who was the chief author on that.
Katie Stephen,
okay. Paragraph 3, line 4.10, studies the Red Rock Corridor again. Coming into the Union Depot, and that's a commuter rail that would serve the south and southeast metro to Hastings and I think ultimately to Red Wing. That's a Senator Sieben initiative. Paragraph 4, starting at line 4.12, that's the southwest transitway corridor. I believe Senator Latz brought that forward. That serves, of course, the southwest suburbs. You know, up into downtown Minneapolis. Paragraph 5 would ask for a study of Interstate 494. I don't know if we got that all east and west. There is still some question about that. But in any case, that was an initiative from Senator Larson. And paragraph 6 would seek a study of Interstate 394. Or the 394 corridor, I should say, and that would be between downtown Minneapolis and the western suburbs, and that is a Senator Bonhoff initiative.
And Senator Dibble, with regard to 4.14,
mm-hmm.
I do think we don't have that accurately stated. Would you like suggested language now or to deal with that as we go forward in the bill?
Yeah, we can deal with that now if it's simple enough to do so.
I might suggest Interstate Highway 494 from the airport to a transit station on the Southwest Transitway and continuing to its intersection with Interstate Highway 494. I mean Highway 94. So the only change is delete Maple Grove and insert Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport.
The point I was making, Madam Chair, was there was discussion, and maybe we can deal with this tomorrow. We can make this amendment now, but there was discussion when Senator Larson presented his bill brought forward by Senator Sieben that 494 perhaps should be studied easterly as well to some point. So it would be studied from an eastern point, study the whole lower ring of the ring road.
Yeah. Senator Dibble, then perhaps we should leave this and not make that amendment at this time, and why don't you add language that you're comfortable with tomorrow?
Chair.
Senator Olson.
Madam Chair, I think they're starting in reverse from what we had thought about earlier. They're starting on Interstate 494 at the north end, which is in Maple Grove, to a transit station on the Southwest Transitway. And then continuing, that would be turning east to the intersection with Interstate Highway 94. So that's the whole loop. I don't know if that creates the totally accurate picture, but
494 corridor.
So if you get the right context, it does fit.
So perhaps Senator Dibble, how you've worded it is perfect.
All right. We'll, it may be, and we'll make sure overnight. That
okay,
case,
thank
Madam
you.
Chair. All right. Anything else in Article 3, Senate Council? Ms. Berezovsky. All right.
Good work.
All right, moving on to Article 4, which I think I will refer to the summary for, because this has a number of individual items, some various policy changes. So probably the one that would garner...
Senator Dibble, could you please move Article 4? That was when not everybody had it, so we stopped.
Okay, Madam Chair, I move Article 4 as an amendment to Senate File 1672.
So moved. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right, Madam Chair, what this article contains is the elected Met Council as presented by Senator Wieger. Establishes the paratransit services service standards that was presented by me in conjunction with Mr. Euland, including 14 hours a day minimum service, same-day demand service. In other words, you could reserve a trip for those that are 25 miles or less, allow you to reserve a trip up to 4 days in advance for trips, but also for longer trips, and establish the one-stop call center, which was an important concept as well. We have inclusion of the Transportation Endowment Fund, which was a bill offered by Senator Rest, which captures 25% of future general fund surpluses for
Senator
transportation
Rest.
Purposes.
Madam Chair, Senator Dibble, thank you for including that idea in the bill. I wonder if I had an amendment tomorrow that didn't have anything to do with this biennium, but put the program in place more than just saying that 25% of additional surpluses are in the future in the out bienniums, if you'd object to that.
Senator Dibble.
Yeah, Madam Chair. The effective date is moved out to the next biennium, and if you had additional policy language, I would be very open to that.
Madam Chair, Senator Dibble, it would be the policy language on where the money would be invested with the SBI, and that the and how the money would be split. It would follow. I'll make sure the amendment follows the principles that you have set in the rest of the bill with regard to the transit road split and the Metro Greater Minnesota split.
Excellent.
Senator Rest, Ms. Berezovsky has advised me that that language is in the bill at a later point on page 7, section 11.
I was looking at that, and
lines 713 and 715, paragraphs B and C, 6040.
Okay, I guess it is. Okay, I'll have an amendment that reflects what is in the rest of the bill rather than that 38-2.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Senator Rest.
All right.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There is language that reflects a bill that I brought forward, an agency bill, which allows, at the governor's discretion, the Met Council to be the lead agency for light rail construction. There is also language in the bill which reflects a bill that I brought forward, which prohibits counties from levying against their property tax for transit operations, and caps their contribution for capital purposes to no more than 10% of a given transit project. And members, that's the purpose of this other spreadsheet, which shows that Hennepin County is contributing something on the order of $4 to $6 million, and you can see how that goes up over time. But then as you add additional rail operations, an extension to Hiawatha LRT, North Star, Central Corridor, and if you flip the spreadsheet, you can see how the kind of property taxes that other counties are going to be asked to be paying for North Star, Central, et cetera. So this isn't just about Hennepin County. It's about, you know, it's about establishing a state policy that you know, state sources be used to operate state facilities. There's a language in the section that reflects a bill I brought forward, again, an agency bill that deals with the jurisdiction of the Metropolitan Transit Police, their cooperation with other police agencies and their ability to seize property as other police agencies do under criminal forfeiture laws when property is used in the commission of a felony. There's also language that deals with Metropolitan Council bonding, increasing the levy authority, as is typical we do every year, but it also expands the transit taxing district to better reflect current reality and be contiguous with the seven-county metropolitan area. Additionally, we included language from Senator Chaudhry. This is new, actually. This came in late, so be interested, of course, in reaction from the committee. That would establish a commuter rail station in Fridley for the North Star commuter rail line that he was very anxious to have included. I'll ask council, is there anything we missed?
Senator Olson.
Madam Chair and Senator Dibble, I've been trying to figure out this spreadsheet that you were talking about, Hennepin County and all counties, and I can only see two numbers that are different from either side, and I didn't quite understand what you were talking about. The only numbers that are different are the bottom one, the Hennepin-Ramsey County on one side, and it's Hennepin County. Hennepin County is a much lower number there. Hennepin and Ramsey County together, it's about four times as much, but all the rest of the numbers are the same. I don't get what you're trying to communicate here.
Okay. This was a handout that came to the Hennepin County delegation given to me by Senator Rest earlier today. As I glance at it, on the rail operations funding all counties, I think the upper part is the same. So that's all the same. And then the next group of numbers is also the same. It's all just reflecting Hennepin County's contribution to Hiawatha Light Rail, and then an anticipated extension of Hiawatha Light Rail. Then as the North Star comes online, so one side just deals with Hennepin County's contribution, but then there's a different line. We say, North Star Corridor Development Authority, NCDA, Capital Partners, Anoka, Hennepin, and Sherburne. So that's a combined. So in the rail operations funding all counties side of the sheet.
Mr. Chairman, I don't see a line that shows those other counties.
Senator Olson, if you look at the rail operations funding all counties, the top one Hiawatha, next one Hiawatha, next one North Star commuter rail operations. Under revenues, the fourth line says NCDA Capital Partners, and then parentheses Anoka, Hennepin, and Sherburne.
Doesn't say that where?
You might turn it over the other side.
I don't have anything that says that. It just says Hennepin County.
Could be the other side.
Okay. It goes up. It doesn't.
So Senator.
Senator Rest.
So, Madam Chair, so Senator Olson. If you look at on the Hennepin County side and just look at budget 2015, their contribution would be $290,000. And the total contribution, if you look on the all counties for the same project, would be $1,860,000. So the Hennepin portion of the $1,860,000 is $290,000 extended to budget year 2015. So it's all counties on one side, and then it carves out what the Hennepin County contribution would be on the Hennepin County side, And the same thing with a central corridor, LRT, on the all counties, Ramsey and Hennepin in 2015 are $8.4 million, and Hennepin County's part of that would be approximately a little bit more than half, 2.5. No.
That's the one I saw.
About
yeah.
One-fourth, $2.5 million.
Thank you.
Right. Right. All right. I think we're good.
So, Senator Youngbauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Dibble, under Section 52, and we're putting in the language to put a commuter rail station in Fridley, doesn't that mess with our FTA requirements in terms of getting federal funding? I think we had to have so much space between all the rail stations and be able to prove some kind of time commitment or something before we could add other rail stations.
Senator Youngbauer, it seems like you've raised a good question, and Mr. Schreiber is going to address that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A station in Fridley for North Star Commuter Rail has been planned since day one, and it has the full support of the community, the full support of the North Star Corridor Development Authority. Unfortunately, when it came time for the allocation of dollars and the FTA said there's X amount available and there wasn't going to be enough based upon the state bonding dollars and the very, very large contingencies on every component of the commuter rail project, that something had to be cut out. And you probably already heard they were, you know, originally they were going to buy new locomotives, now they're buying used locomotives and that type of thing to try to pare back costs. And so the Fridley station is the most expensive because Burlington Northern Santa Fe requires that it be located in between the tracks, in the middle of the tracks, so you have to tunnel underneath, put an elevator in, and there will be middle loading on that one, whereas most of them, they're on the outside. It is the most expensive. So the plan is that with the sales tax provision that's in this bill that will exempt commuter rail from the state sales tax, that will free up $5 or $6 million. We're working with the city of Fridley, and they are going to try to move ahead using their HRA and acquire the land for the stations on either side. And then by the time we get all of our bids in, we believe the contingencies are on the high side, but we won't know for sure until all the bids are in. If there's sufficient money left over in these contingency accounts, we would then move ahead with the Fridley station, but right now it's on hold. And the unfortunate part is there isn't any money to do it, and under the current arrangement, it would not qualify for additional federal funds. So as of right now, you would be talking about 100% state funds or local funds in which to construct the Fridley station, unless our actual bids come in sufficiently below the amount that's being allocated for the federal share, that we could put that towards the Fridley station.
Madam Chair.
Senator Murphy.
Madam Chair, Mr. Schreiber, this has been in there since day one. Is it a good idea?
Absolutely. But, Ms. Chairman, it has
Mr.
been.
Mr. Schreiber.
Madam Chair and Senator Murphy, it has been out since last May. And when the preliminary agreement was made with the Burlington Northern Santa Fe for the lease, a permanent easement for the tracks being used for commuter rail, which ended up costing more on the front end, but it will save money on the operation end of the project over the years. But it was a higher upfront cost, and those negotiations resulted in more dollars up front, less dollars available for Fridley. Love to work with the committee in identifying the dollars, but quite frankly, the track that we're on right now, if the bids come in at a level to free up some of these contingency dollars, we will have the Fridley station will be up
and operational at the same time the rest of the North Star commuter rail would be mm-hmm. starting. So I think we would have far more definitive answers for you in 2008 than what we're able to have in 2007.
Senator Dibble.
Thanks. So, Madam Chair, I think Mr. Schreiber, what he indicates is this is a more a function of dollars than it is a function of travel time, okay. which I think was Senator Jungbauer's question.
Any other questions?
All right. So, Madam Chair, that's the bill. In terms of rough numbers, per Senator Ress's earlier question, in 2012 numbers, I don't know if this corresponds to this sheet because I always need a sheet explained to me before I can pull off the information that's relevant or important. But so I'll ask Ms. Boyd to verify what we're saying. The motor vehicle lease tax. And the reason we use the 2012 numbers is because that's when everything is fully phased in, so it's just easier to talk about it conceptually in those terms. And I remember that's split 50-50 roads and transit, with 75% of the 50% coming to the metro and 25% of the 50% going to Greater Minnesota. Metropolitan area would get about $18.6 million, and Greater Minnesota would get about $6.2 million of that. Motor vehicle sales tax, again, in 2012 dollars, with the 36-4 split in the 40% that goes to transit, 36 coming to metro, that would be $211.32 million and 23.48 coming to Greater Minnesota. The half-cent metro sales tax with the 80-20, actually, well, 80. Well, I'll just say 80% transit, but that would also include the dollars that go to bike and ped facilities. That would be about $202 million annually. These are all annual dollars. And about $50.7 million going for road purposes. All told, it's about around $430 million per year for metro area, and about $29.68 million per year for Greater Minnesota Transit. And I don't know how those percentages break out, but I can do some quick math and get that to you.
Ms. Boyd.
Madam Chair, Senator Rest, I wanted to respond to your earlier request for overall numbers. The overall split, if you incorporate both MVEST and leasing, would be still 38% to metro area, 3% to Greater Minnesota, and about 59% to roads.
So how do we get to 41 when we have 60-40?
Ms. Boyd, are you adding in the sales tax?
No, Madam Chair. Senator Rest, I'm adding in the leasing sales tax, which is not a 60-40 split. So it's a 50-50 split between roads and transit in this proposal, so it would shake off the ratio just a little bit.
So roads would get only 59% rather than 60%?
Madam Chair, Senator Rest, yes, of MVEST and leasing together, they would still get 60% of MVEST. Just 50% of leasing.
Then explain to me, I'm sorry to be so dense about this, explain to me why you mentioned the 59% figure.
Madam Chair, Senator Rest, the MVEST pot is a much bigger pot than the leasing sales tax. Mm-hmm. So when you take 60% of the MVEST to roads of a bigger pot and then 50% of the leasing sales tax to roads of a smaller pot, it just reduces that percentage by just a tiny
bit.
That's
what I needed to know. Yeah. So it's 38.
3% and 59.
It's 41% mm-hmm. split 38-3.
Yes.
Right. All right.
Questions, comments?
I'll stand for questions, Madam Chair. I give speeches, but we're out of time.
Senator Jungbauer.
And people may want to testify too, Madam Chair, later on.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Dibble, page 2R in the back of Article 4, additions to the transit taxing district. I just want to clarify, if I'm reading this right, that the city council or the governing body would have to agree on a service expansion plan to be included in the metro taxing district.
What's
Or is that a repealed
repealer
part of it? So was, they'd automatically go in then if that's repealed. Okay.
No.
That's what I was wondering. If the way the repealer is written, it's hard to. Took all that out.
Senator Dibble, Senator Chaudhry is here now. Senator Chaudhry, we did have a full discussion about the Fridley Station, and I think people understood that it is something we really want to do. Senator Dibble, you want to say anything else to Senator Chaudhry?
Yes, so I think we're, my sense of the committee is we're supportive of the Fridley Station, and Mr. Schreiber provided gave us some information with the funds that we raise, through the metro-wide sales tax. We have sufficient funds to do this. Doesn't affect the CEI, and the time travel penalty was a key question, and we determined that wasn't a factor.
Thank you, Senator Dibble, Madam Chair. And the Fridley Station has been in the plans for the North Star Corridor commuter rail since its inception, and so the support built, at least around in my community, around commuter rail and for commuter rails, not just based on the concept of the commuter rail, but also that it would be very convenient for our community to use it.
Yes.
And the support for that is really built upon it, including mine. I've been a strong supporter, advocate of commuter rail since 1997, when we were back fighting for, $40 million. We struggled with it, and the plan had to be cut back, and we finally passed $60 million for it, got it up and going, and then it was with great disappointment that I learned only a couple of months ago that the plans to that there were plans to delete the Fridley Station from the plans, and so this bill would do that. It's not the responsibility of the city of Fridley to come up with the funds to fund that station, because our support for this project from Minneapolis to St. Cloud and Rice was based in large part upon this plan that included the Fridley Station.
Senator Chaudhry, we agree with you. We're with you, and it's in the plan.
Thank you.
Thank you. Members, any other questions? I do have a comment, Senator Dibble. I applaud all the work of this committee and you and Senator Murphy, and I think one of the nice things about the way this is written is you can hear none of us are fighting, because everybody's project is in this to be looked at as a potential for transit, and so that is a wonderful thing when you have a pot that's big enough to do what really needs to be done. And so I don't want to bring up something that is a negative for me, but I just wanted to make sure that it was on record that the only thing I disagreed with in this transit bill was the elective Met Council. To me, that's more of a policy issue that is something that could be looked at perhaps next year if people were in favor of that. It's not something I support, but either way, they could look at it next year, because I think this is going to take more champions to get this done than we have currently. It's going to take reaching across the aisle, getting, this group and that group and that group, and spreading the enthusiasm. And I think anything we can do to make sure that this is going forward with 100% buy-in. So I will obviously go with the will of the committee with regard to this bill, but wanted to go on record with that view.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Youngbauer.
Well, Madam Chair, I guess, with that repealer, I don't see anything in here for that end of my district. So I would say that somebody got the gold mine, but maybe the middle of my district along Highway 65 got the shaft.
Senator Murphy.
Madam Chairman, we have to remember that, first I want to echo some of your comments. I think that this committee and Senator Dibble did a wonderful job getting all these pieces put together. It's been a much easier process than it has been in the last few years to have a subcommittee on transit. And thanks, Senator Dibble, because it took a lot of pressure off me. But Senator Jungbauer, to your point, this is one piece of an overall funding package. And I think that when the rest of the funding package gets rolled out, even though, you know, we're not going down and talking about, you know, Highway 65 or, you know, Senator Limmer's favorite one up there, the highway that stops in nowhere. Right. Even though we're not naming those projects individually, there's going to be enough money on the table that there will be no more excuses for not getting Highway 610 completed, not getting the crosstown done, and I mean in an accelerated manner. And I think that that's been the goal of the big committee for several years. I know that when Senator Arata was here, that's what he always pushed for, was a funding package that actually moved things forward instead of just a couple here and a couple over there, but move everybody forward at an even rate. And I think that once this gets married into the rest of the provisions that we'll be hearing in the big committee tomorrow, I think everybody's going to look at it and say, you know, this is going to do it. And I kind of compared this to when we first started out this year. I was hoping that, you know, maybe we could get a Chevy past the governor. You know, but this is going to be the Mercedes-Benz, and we're going to drive it until the wheels fall off of it and see what happens. So, yeah, it's going to be big. It's going to call for a lot of tax increases. But I think at the end of the day, when people see that, you know, these transit projects are going ahead, the road projects are going to go ahead, and you know, every state in the nation, every major metropolitan area that has done a complete build-out of their transit and transportation systems, their economies are cooking along, and we're not even warm, to tell the truth. And I can gauge that by how many people we've got sitting on the bench. I'm sure you know what that is. So, but thanks again, Senator Dibble.
Thank you.
Senator Saltzman.
Yes. On Senator Murphy's point, Madam Chair, you know, we talk about a Mercedes, but as we have gone out to our transit hearings around the metropolitan area and even outstate, for those of you who were outstate or a bit, you know, this is what the public told us that they wanted. And now the question is going to be that, you know, we've heard a lot about what people want, the kinds of projects that really seem important to different communities in terms of economic development. We keep hearing that our businesses are behind transportation projects, and now it's going to be time to say, here it is, and are you willing to pay for it? And to hear their support, that's going to be very critical. So I just applaud Senator Dibble for the work that you've done to create what I would call a balanced and responsible bill, but it is bold. And that's what I believe that we've been asked to do, is to create a bold transit bill. So thank you.
Right.
Anybody from the audience wants to testify?
Well, of course.
Say your name for the record. Welcome to the committee.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Dibble. And my name is Judd Shetland. I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Metropolitan Council. I appreciate the opportunity to be before you tonight. There is a letter that I'd like to hand out to the committee. Madam Chair and members, when the elected Met Council bill was before your committee a few weeks ago with Senator Wieger, he handed out a letter from Congresswoman McCollum that stated that that her office has contacted the Federal Transit Administration, which dismisses the elected Met Council's concerns regarding the Central Corridor and offers them no credibility, calling them purely a local matter. And the letter that I'm passing out to you is a letter that we presented to Senator Roebling. She contacted the council last week and asked what the potential impacts to the Central Corridor would be with an elected Met Council. And as you can see, the way that the elected Met Council bill is set up right now, it is to take effect in the general election of 2008. The concern that we have at this point is that's the exact same time that the council is looking to move from preliminary engineering to final design. And at that point, the council has to have its governance structure put in place. It has to have its management put in place for the Central Corridor project, and it also has to have its budget and finances put in place. And our
Senator Murphy?
Well, Madam Chairman, then, and I don't mean to get right in the middle of your testimony, but, you know, we've had the discussion about, you know, that's why we have the tab. We don't have an elected Met Council, so that's why we have the tab. Well, why can't we just keep the tab around until all this stuff fleshes itself out?
Mr. Shetton?
Thank you, Senator Murphy and Madam Chair. Because right now, law states that the council is the MPO, the Metropolitan Planning Organization. That the MPO is created through an agreement between the governor and local electeds who represent 75% of the metropolitan area. That was established back in 1974 by then Governor Wendy Anderson. It has stayed in that place for the last 33 years. This is the MPO status that the council currently has, and any change in that, since we are the MPO, the federal funds come through the council. They go to the Transportation Advisory Board. That's a board set up of 33 members, 17 of which are local electeds, 7 from the county boards, and 10 members who are appointed by the AMM or the metro cities, and then cities of the first class are on that board. That can only be changed between the governor and those local electeds, because that is how the federal government recognizes how that money is supposed to flow. So it is an issue. In Congresswoman McCollum's letter, she stated here that, and I know that you've seen this because it was before your committee, and I wasn't planning on this being up here tonight, so that's why I apologize. I didn't have copies of this for everybody. I had the other copies because I thought it was going to be on the floor of the Senate this morning. But in the letter that Mr. Stephen Fong sent to Congresswoman McCollum's office, it says, since the council is not the Metropolitan Planning Organization, it's purely a local matter, and the FTA is not able to opine on the hypothetical scenario. And then a couple days later, we got a letter back from Mr. Fong that says his apologies for the confusion that arose from his earlier email, and the staff has clarified the answer and just says that the U.S. Department of Transportation recognizes the council with its Transportation Advisory Board as the MPO for the Twin Cities metropolitan area. And what we are stating here, and as Mr. Mark Furman has stated in his letter, that the fact that the council is the MPO and the fact that we are the grant recipient for the Central Corridor project, that any disruption at the time when we're supposed to move from preliminary engineering to final design could cause a serious delay for this project. And we've projected with just a 4% inflation rate, That could cost somewhere between $20 and $35 million, and I need a drink of water really bad here.
Water? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Senator. I'll meet you at Costello's afterwards.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, Mr. Shetman, then let me see if I get this right. So what you're saying is that if we pass a big funding bill with this change in the Met Council, moving to an elected body, that is going to jeopardize the Central Corridor. That's going to jeopardize the Central Corridor more than if we don't do anything. I mean, no funding package, anything. I mean, what's the worst of either options? The bare bones option, which is,
thank you,
which we will see tomorrow, and it will be very sparse, or the funding package with this in it. Which is going to be more disastrous to the Central Corridor?
Mr. Shetton.
Madam Chair and Senator Murphy, I think that if you pass the elected Met Council bill, that it would be worse, because right now the folks who are representing Central Corridor outside of the administration are moving forward with a request of $40 million for the bonding mill this year. And their intention is to come back for an additional $100 million next year. That is the local share we have to demonstrate the local share to the federal government by next fall when we go into, when we ask to go from preliminary engineering to final design. The difference is that if you go to an elected council at that point, then they're going to question the governance structure, your management organization, and your financial plan. And you have to have all those put in place by next October, November, whenever, when we go ask for that. So the funding package really is a little bit separate from that. I mean, you're saying how you're going to operate it, potentially put some money toward it, but we still have the issue of the MPO with the elected council. And I think that this is a major concern, and I apologize to that, and I apologize to Senator Dibble. I mean, he's a great friend of transit. He's carrying a number of our initiatives that are in this bill, but I have to tell you that, you know, the council and Mr. Furman, who has dealt with the FTA for 22 years, we didn't twist his arm to write this bill. He has got major concerns. I'd love to have him back tomorrow if you'd like to hear from him.
Senator Murphy.
Madam Chair, maybe you didn't understand my question. What would you rather have, an elected Met Council or no money?
Mr. Shetman.
And that's, and Madam Chairman and Mr. Shetman, that's just what it comes down to. I mean, what would you rather have?
Madam Chair, I appreciate the question from Senator Murphy, and be happy to figure out an answer and get back to you later.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. And
we should probably move on from this issue.
Yeah. I mean, I think the debate has been
raised.
Had. Previously, we know the position of the Met Council and the governor. You know, we know the issues they're raising. We know that people have different perspectives on that. We know that people have want something different out of the Met Council for a whole lot of reasons, and don't think this is necessarily a reflection on the current Met Council or the current administration. Maybe it is in some cases, but you know, people are trying to grapple with some basic systemic functional issues, and are trying to establish some sound policy that serves the larger transportation, transit, and metropolitan economic needs that we have and goals that we have. I think this is an approach to accomplish that. You reflect a different view, but we're trying to move that conversation along.
Very good.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
And again, Senator Dibble, I strongly support the transit bill. All
right. Thank you, Madam Chair. I know there are some folks who may or may not want to testify on the bill. Also know there's some... I know there's some desire for folks to move along, so if folks do want to testify, they can keep it brief. I know that Commissioner McLaughlin jiggered his calendar a little bit for us. So,
Madam Chair, members, I'll be very brief. I want to thank Senator Dibble for bringing this forward.
State your name for the record.
Peter McLaughlin, Hennepin County Commissioner and Chair of the Metro Transit Ways Development Board. I apologize, Madam Chair. I want to first thank Senator Dibble for putting this together. It's been... many year struggle, but this fixes the structural problem for transit in this metropolitan area, which is the lack of a adequate dedicated funding source for transit to allow us to move forward, to build the vision that people around this table and around this region and state have been articulating for a number of years, and the pressure for it and the support for it has been growing. So we just want to say that's the big structural step that this bill takes, and we're very supportive of that. And the study of the corridors, we think, is a good idea to get to the next generation of corridors that need to be developed. And the some of the money going to roads has been something that we've said is important in the metropolitan area, too. So with that, I would be happy to stand for questions. We just appreciate the chance to move this agenda forward.
Thank you for being here, Commissioner, and thank you for the leadership role you've taken in transit.
Thank you very much.
Very good.
All right, Madam Chair, I would move Senate File 1672 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the full Committee on Transportation.
So moved. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Motion passed. Ready to adjourn, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Meeting is adjourned.